only got better because I have someone special in studio with me. So I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Good afternoon, listeners. My name is Alani Some. I'm a medical doctor with UMC Victoria Hospital. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for listening in to Sanyu FM. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, do you say Sonny? You say it's Sonny.
Sanyu.
No, your name.
Oh, Anna Nyusome.
Nyusome. Yes. You know, sometimes when you get to listen to some names, you're like, I think your mom was just, you know, those parents are like, they overly loved you and made sure the name sounds amazingly good.
Ah, thank you.
If I told you how my name sounds, Anyokorit, what was my mom thinking? Like, what was she thinking?
Pretty unique.
Anyway, today we're going to be talking about HIV. Yeah, let's just break it down to layman language. What is HIV and what is it not?
Okay. Thank you so much. HIV in full is human immunodeficiency virus, and it is basically a virus that infects the human body, and when it does that, it particularly affects immunity cells that should help your body offer protection against basic infections, basic cancers, and so it destroys the cells called CD4 cells, causing the body not to fight infections as well as it should. And so that is what HIV is. It's simply the virus. And what it is not is, it is not a death sentence. I just want that to be out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the moment you know someone is HIV, you're like, huh? They're counting down the days.
Yeah.
But anyway, but what's the difference between HIV and AIDS?
That's a great question. HIV versus AIDS. So HIV, as we've said, is basically the virus, the infection that comes in. But not all virus will lead to disease. So the virus can stay in your body for years and tens of years, and it's just not producing disease. And so disease is the AIDS, the acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. So it's a syndrome that comes about when your body cannot fight the infection. So it's a mix of so many infections that have come up simply because your immune system is not as strong as it should be. And so when those cells that are destroyed by the virus go below about 200 cells, and then the AIDS disease comes up. So these days we don't see a lot of AIDS. You won't hear about AIDS so much because of how effective the medication is, how effective the antiretroviral therapy is.
Okay. Well, can we talk about the transmission and the prevention? I think this is something that most people do not really know much. I'm going to give a clear example of the young, or let's say the Gen Zs, or let's say, you know, the little ones who are getting into, you know, relationships. But I think there are some ways or some styles or some things that when you use, you don't get HIV. And most of them actually lie to. You know, someone says, oh, when we do it standing, nothing will happen. You'll not get the disease, you know. So let's talk about the transmission and prevention.
I love that you brought up this new generation, because, you know, in our days, in the 90s, in the early 2000s, you'd see big red posters, AIDS kills with a danger sign, and in big red letters.
Yeah.
And now there's this new generation that they just don't get it. Like, I'm more scared of being pregnant than of being HIV positive, you know. And so we have to strike a balance between telling this young generation that HIV still exists, HIV is still a problem, but also telling this older generation that has been stuck in so much fear that HIV can be lived with, you can thrive with it.
Yes.
So that balance is, I love that you brought up that generation, because it's a huge problem. You meet a child and they're like, okay, it's just HIV, it's just a pill a day.
I know.
Yeah.
I would rather cry in a Benz.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But when we talk about HIV transmission, the three main transmission mechanisms that really stand out, and that is the unprotected sex, where you're having sex with a positive person, mm-hmm. and then the transmission, the mother to child transmission, mm-hmm. and then sharing shops, you know, drug users or health workers that might get pricked by a needle or something like that. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that still stand out. But for the rest, like blood transfusions, mm-hmm. the things that, you know, so many measures have come up that they don't stand out so much anymore. So those are three main transmission mechanisms I would talk about.
Okay. Yeah. So how about this thing that is trending nowadays? They call it PrEP. What's that? The PrEP options. Because someone's like, it's okay, I'm going to meet this guy or I'm going to meet this lady. We're going to have a moment and I'll just PrEP it. You know, just PrEP it. Can we talk about the PrEP and probably, you know, layman language, explain to a listener what PrEP is?
Okay. So in layman terms, PrEP is basically you taking the antiretroviral therapy before you're exposed, taking mm-hmm. the medication before you're, so it's PrEP versus PEP. PrEP is pre, so before you are exposed to the virus, you protect yourself. And there is a lovely new trend that has come up, and there's a twice a yearly injection that can offer you protection for 6 months.
What?
Exactly.
Oh my God, they're going to start running around.
Uh-huh.
They're going to start doing crazy
I mean, they already
stuff.
Are, so we'll at least let's be safe about it, you know? Okay. So then a Capavir is basically a twice a year injection, and I think it's a game changer for something like discordant couples.
Mm-hmm.
And you are married to an HIV positive person, mm-hmm. instead of taking a pill every day of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You just have that twice a yearly injection.
Okay.
So PrEP comes in the form of the oral pills that you can take daily or the injectable that I've talked about. So that's basically what PrEP is.
Okay, how about the PEP?
Okay, so the PEP is basically now after you're exposed, you know.
Yeah.
You have a one-night stand, you're not sure about the person's status.
The festive season.
Yeah, you're in party mode.
Yes.
And so you wake up in the morning and you know, bad decisions, new mornings.
Yeah.
And you need to do something about it. So PEP is that you take the therapy, but after the exposure, it's usually given to people that are not HIV positive themselves. They have been exposed to someone whose status is not known or who is known to be positive,
mm-hmm.
and then it's given for a period of about 28 days.
Oh, that's long.
Yeah. I mean, it's shorter than a lifetime.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so where can we access the PEP?
So PEP is widely accessible in many facilities, particularly, I would say, at UMC Victoria Hospital, we offer PEP and the full-blown service. You know, it's not just taking the pill.
Mm-hmm.
It is the counseling that happens before. It is the follow-up. It is what else can come with whatever you've done that required PEP.
Mm-hmm.
It is the long-term management if you are actually found to be positive.
Mm-hmm.
The cocktail of care is offered full-blown at UMC Victoria Hospital. So that is one of the centers I would recommend you to find this service.
Mm, okay. Well, can we just talk about the myth around HIV transmission? Because, hey, there's a lot. I think there was some rumor I actually had, which was very funny, that apparently there's a specific thing, like if you drink it before, you know, you can never ever get. You just feel like the Majimaji story where we shall go to war after
smearing some water on your body.
What are some of those that you've had that you'd probably want to correct?
So the first one is that HIV positive people look sick. I mean, you know, they can't be sick.
Yeah.
There's no way they are sick. Oh my God, there is every single way that they are sick.
Mm.
And so it's just a reminder to take caution, no matter what whoever looks like, no matter how good they look, they can be very, very sick. And so it is just a reminder to continue taking caution. The other one is that individual management for each of you. So I think those are some of the myths that I've seen really stand out that I would have loved to correct today.
Okay. And now that you say that, you reminded me, I remember when I was in campus, when I just joined campus, one of my first speech from my dad, he was like, you see all these men, they are sick. All of them. Now all you have to do is make sure you call daddy and mommy for anything. Don't ask it from anyone. Trust me, that he kept me in campus.
It worked.
He kept me. Worked. I would see anyone and I'm like, sick. And I would always get scared. But anyway, looking through, can we just talk about fighting the HIV stigma? Because I think this is one thing that people nowadays are using social media platforms. They're coming out to say, yes, I am positive. You know, but then before you know it, people start getting scared. I'm going to give you a clear example of something that happened. There was a time we were out somewhere and then someone just spread the rumor. that person is. Mm-hmm. Trust me, all of us who were there, you know, whatever the person was touching, and we're like, oh wow. Can you talk to some of us? How do we fight this HIV stigma?
I feel like one of the main things that brings about stigma is an absolute lack of knowledge. I mean, what's wrong with sitting at the same table with someone who is HIV? Of knowledge, it's ignorance that leads to stigma. So I think sessions like these that keep talking about things,
yeah,
it's like a P4, a child in P4. If you're talking about sex, they're gonna be like, what?
Uh-huh.
And then someone in S4, you're like, oh, sex, you know, in this age and era. Yes. I mean, so if we talk about these things, the more we have knowledge about them, the faster stigma is going to die. Mm. And stigma is terrible because it keeps people silent. It keeps people away from treatment, life-saving treatment. I mean, they cannot act. It breaks up families. Mm-hmm. They are more scared of, you know, they're so scared of their partners. They're not sure what to do with this diagnosis. And we need to just remind ourselves, and through sessions like this and over again, that HIV patients are just like any of us. HIV patients can thrive. They can lead. They can be great in different spaces. And they are just like any of us, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's imagine I've met someone today. How many times am I supposed to test with this person to be sure to enjoy the moment?
So definitely there's a first time you're meeting the person, you ought to have the test.
Yeah.
And then you know the people that are married, I don't even trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
It is a recommended space of 1 to 3 months, or every time you feel like
how do I begin telling my husband we go? I feel like what has been happening.
I really do hope people are marrying people they trust, you know.
Okay.
Because if you have signs that this person is not trustworthy, it's better safe than... You'd rather explain why we are going to test, you know, than be on medication for the rest of your life. So I do think that the first time you test, there is what we call a window period, whereby you're still encouraged to test after 3 months if you're going to be faithful, you know. That window period, you know that something can happen in between there. If they've just acquired the virus, it might not be visible on test. And so that window period is important for you to go back, have your very more valid results, but also based on the trust you have with your partner, keep testing. It is recommended that every 3 months, do go and test yourself. If he has refused, you go.
Mm. So just like they say, we should continuously date, you should continuously test with your partner. And I think if you've met someone, it's best before you get into the moment, at least try again and again and again, probably. Then, let's imagine someone living with HIV. Where do they get the services? How can they get the support while living with HIV?
There's a misconception that it's just about the pill. It is not. There is so much care that surrounds patients that are living with HIV.
Yeah.
There is so much care. There's a psychosocial support. I mean, imagine the burden of knowing you have this illness that is not going anywhere. The burden of knowing you could hurt your loved ones with it. Can I get a child? Can I live with a partner? There's so many questions going on in their minds. And there's the nutritional support, because, like we said, your body is not at its best. So how are you managing your nutrition? Then the basic clinical care. You are at risk for various diseases. There's more screening that should be done.
Mm-hmm.
Cervical cancer, you are at a higher risk of cervical cancer. So you need that comprehensive care, comprehensive package, and not just pick my pills and go home.
Yeah.
And so as a center that has such specialist care, such all-round care, like Victoria Hospital, I'm going to throw it back in there,
it is
really a great place for you to have that comprehensive care. Or for days that you know you cannot make it to the facility, there are delivery services for you available and things like that.
Okay. So, well, as we're finalizing, what other services does UMC offer, and where is it located? I heard you have new branches, so let's talk about those.
So UMC Victoria Hospital is located at on Old Kira Road, right after Canary Hotel, opposite Bioplus, and that's the main branch. There's an annex branch right after Bioplus Furniture, still on that same road. And then we have a branch in Chanja that is open during the day, and any of those branches offer the full range of services, and or at least are connected for the full range of services.
Yeah.
And there's a lot. We offer specialist services, all sorts of specialists that you can think of. Any medical problem, we are really able to cover it.
We have, I think, one of the most affordable radiological services in the country. MRI, CT scan, X-ray, the full range of radiological services, laboratory services, and general inpatient and outpatient care.
Okay. Any final remarks to anyone listening in and knows Dr. Ann?
Yes. Thank you so much for having me here today. I hope someone has picked a thing or two. For those that are HIV negative, what is your role to play? First of all, kill the stigma. It is really a big burden in our country today. And be supportive. Be supportive by not disclosing someone's status. If you know their status and they've not asked you to disclose it, please do not be that person. Care for them. They need a full, a wide range of care, nutritional care, reminders to take their pill, reminders to go to facilities and check themselves out. So just be, you know, let's be the change we want to see. And remember that HIV patients are just like any of us. They should not be discriminated. They should.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming through.